Hello.
Hey Jake.
Hey Josh, how's it going?
Good. I had a another question for you. This week I got some map burn on my toes, and I'm like, maybe this is a good thing to address with Jake, or like all these little tweaks or little annoyances that beginners get into and just don't know what to do about. So like map burn on the toes and elbows, getting scratched by, scratches. Some people forget to clip their nails. Cauliflower ear, I haven't had it yet, but I'm a little nervous. Just all those beginner things that people get nervous. My neck right now hurts pretty bad if I turn to the left. So just curious about all those small things that happen.
Yeah, the small things happen, I feel like, forever in your jiu-jitsu career. If it's not mat burn, it's going to be something else. And if it's, yeah, I mean, it's just constantly like little things that come up. And like mat burn, because you said that's like what you're dealing with specifically right now. I think there's like a combination of like just your body getting like calloused, so where it's like not gonna get mat burn. Because like when I was tr first training, I remember like getting in the shower and being like, oh my gosh, this burns, like it hurts. And then like after training, consistently for a few months, it doesn't come up anymore. But then after COVID, when I didn't train forever and I went back, I got mat burn like pretty bad again. And that was the
Oh.
first time I'd gotten it since I started. So I think it has to do with like your body developing, like calluses. And then like also you just kind of like realize that you shouldn't be like dragging your foot across the mat, and it should be like planted. It shouldn't be just like sliding. So I think like when you get better with technique, you're gonna get less mat burn. But at the same time, I feel like you're gonna get mat burn if your toes aren't like calloused, regardless of how good your technique is. So I think it's like a combination of both of those things. But yeah, it's definitely something that a lot of people deal with for sure.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I remember I had it on my knee and then it went away, but now it's like on the outsides of my pinky toes, like, just the outsides of your feet, which it's just a little bit annoying. And yeah, I remember my first month of consistent jiu-jitsu back in July, those showers would definitely burn. And I'd have bruises all over my, like, dots, all over like my biceps and triceps and scratches on, like, scrapes on my neck, maybe from the gi being pulled different ways. And yeah, so I guess it's just toughening up that baby skin.
Yeah, I don't know if I told this story on the podcast or not, but like I had been doing jiu-jitsu for like maybe a month, and then I went back home to visit my like family, like my mom and dad, and I had like big bruises on my neck. And my mom was like, at least try and like cover up your hickeys, like don't just like walk in here with like a bunch of hickeys on your neck. I was like, it's not hickeys, okay? People are just trying to choke me. Freaking bow and arrow chokes, that's what it is.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so that's mat burn.
Yeah,
So,
there's.
okay. How about like, well, I guess the scratches one is, this is just for all the new people, is remember to cut your nails before you go to class. Sometimes I go to class and I see people like beginners with long nails, and that's just sucky. I have a big scar on my hand now because of this scratch I got. It's kind of a cool scar though, but still, like, everyone should cut their nails. Any other beginner
Your
things that,
nails
like,
and take a shower.
yes, take a shower. Sometimes people stink in there, and that's never fun. You don't want to be that guy either. Any other like beginner things we should know about?
I'm trying to think, because you said your neck is like hurting now
Oh
too and
yeah.
stuff. Like for me, I like the old school I used to go to, or I mean the school that I go to, we would like focus on a position for a month. So like if you're doing like side control for a month and you're just getting like cross face for like 2 weeks straight, when you're doing like bottom side control escapes or something, it starts to kind of take its toll. And like we're doing I'm focusing on like front headlock stuff right now, like guillotines and like d'arces and anacondas and stuff. And I feel like that's another one where like if you just do that for like a month straight, like your neck is gonna be pretty jacked. So I think it's important to, like, when you're drilling things, like, you don't need to choke your partner, like, unconscious every time, you know? Like, you don't need to crank it to, like, restrain their neck, you know? So I would say that's one thing to consider. And then me as, like, an instructor, I think it's important to kind of switch it up when you're doing positions like that. Like, don't necessarily do it for extended periods of time. Like, try and find different ways to incorporate other aspects that are easier on people's body, because I don't think it's very sustainable to do it that way.
Gotcha. Yeah, for neck stuff, neck stuff kind of freaks me out a little bit, because I have a friend who, his friend was training jiu-jitsu, and then his neck got, I think he broke his neck and went paralyzed or something like that for a bit, from his instructor during a demo, actually. And so I get a little nervous about neck stuff. Did you ever do, like, neck strengthening stuff or, like, exercises for your neck to help prevent these kinds of things?
At my my old school, we did a lot of that for the warm up every day. They called them yes, no's, and maybes, where you would just go, like, yes, no, and then, like, maybe, like, touch your ear to your shoulder. Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
So we did that every day to strengthen your neck. You have kind of a giraffe neck, though. So,
dude, I do. It's so very long.
Vulnerable.
It is, dude. It's a huge target, man.
That, do you know any details about that story that you just said about your friend getting paralyzed?
Friend of a friend. Wild. Yeah, I don't know a ton of details, except, yeah, he went to the hospital. I don't know. I think he maybe broke something in his neck or back. I think he's walking now, though. I think it's just a long road to recovery of, like, gaining mobility back. I don't remember exactly, but that scared me a little bit when I was, like, you know, just kind of, like, similar to the last episode about being scared about arm bars. I think it's just understanding the mechanics that I need to know more. And then I just tap a little bit. If it's really cranky, why should I should just tap, you know, instead of try to tough out a neck crank or something like that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not worth it. Yeah. Like, there was one, like, that side control thing that I was talking about, like, where I just felt like I was getting crossface over and over and over again. Like, then all of a sudden when I would, like, turn to my left, I would feel like a shock, like, down my back. It's pretty wild. And, it lasted for, like, a couple months, and then, I mean, now it's gone, but still it's weird. So I definitely think, like, it's going to be constant throughout your jiu-jitsu career, and you're going to find ways to deal with it. But, like, at the end of the day, we're doing a combat sport and, like, trying to wrestle each other. So, like, yeah, you can do it in safe ways, but at the end of the day, like, it's kind of the nature of it that things are bound to happen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I might as well just bring up all the little things that's happened, because another one was, I got, like, a minor toe sprain, like my ring toe. Because someone, we were practicing takedowns, and someone, their knee just went straight on my toe and, like, right on my ring toe, and sprained it lightly. And so I had to tape it for, actually still kind of hurts now if I bend it back a little more, but I just had to tape it for a couple months, I think. And sometimes I see guys with taped fingers or toes every class. Like, it just never, I think they just tape it forever. How do you prevent, or, I don't know if there's, like, toe strengthening exercises or, like, hand strength, finger strength. I don't know. How do you, like, prevent those kinds of things? Do you deal with finger and toe stuff?
Toe-wise, I'm pretty sure I broke. I never went to, like, a doctor or anything, but, like, pretty sure I broke my, like, not big toe, but my, like, toe next to my big toe.
Yeah.
Because I tried to, like, from top position, I tried to, like, bring my foot over their foot. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to do that, like, quickly, and I missed, and I just, like, kicked the ground. Oh. So I did it to myself, but I, like, kicked the ground, like, pretty much I broke it. I'm pretty sure I broke it, because it hurt for, like, a month, and now it's, like, still pretty swollen. Like, the knuckle is still pretty swollen, and whenever I, like, hit it, it's, like, super sensitive.
Oh no. Wait, when did this happen?
So that's, like, the one that was probably, like, 5 years ago.
Wait, it's still swollen right now?
It's just like the knuckle is big.
Oh, you know? Dang. Oh, maybe it is.
Not
maybe
like,
you
not
did
swollen
break it.
necessarily, but like,
and it healed over
yeah,
weird.
It's like kind of crooked and like the knuckle is big. Yeah. Yeah. But as far as like fingers go, I feel like, I mean, for me, one of the reasons I kind of avoid gi is like a lot of it is like get your grips and hold on to your grips and, you know, don't let people break your grips, but people are going to try and break your grips. So it's going to test your finger strength. And like a lot of times when they break your grip, when you're trying to hold on, it freaking hurts your fingers. So, yeah. My advice would be just let go. Like if they're adamant about breaking your grip, I would just let go. Yeah. You might get yelled at by your instructor, but that's just my thing. Like whatever, I'll just live to fight another day. But, I know Danaher talks about how like the one thing that he would recommend for training grip strength is rope climbing. Or if you can climb a rope with just your hands, like not, you know, tying your legs around it and stuff, but just like climb a rope with your hands, that's the best way he's found to do it. Gotcha. And I imagine you probably have some from your rock climbing days on like hand strength, but
yeah, there's like,
I haven't really done anything myself.
Like these hang boards people hang off of, like off like the first or second digits of their fingers. They would do like off of the second digit and then just off the first digit, like barely hanging. And they would do different kinds of finger combinations. But yeah, climbers, I mean, like their tendons and their fingers, wrists always get injured. But I feel like as long as you progress it slow enough, you can end up having really strong grip strength and, yeah, grip strength in general. And I guess this kind of leads to my next one that I dealt with, which is tendonitis. And this came from rock climbing. It's just something for people to know, I guess, if you have a history of tendonitis or begin to feel your tendons around your elbow, like either the outside of your elbow where your forearm muscles meet the bone, or even the inside of the elbow, like near the funny bone where your, I don't know how to describe this, like the bottom lower side of your arm, lower forearm meets the bone, almost like connecting to the bicep tendon or your bicep tendon, too. But if you start to feel pain there after class, the one thing I should have done really is just rest longer before you go to class again. Cause you don't, if you start feeling pain after every class, you're just not giving your tendon enough time to heal. Tendons take a long time to heal because there's not enough blood flow that goes to your like muscles. So now I'm limited to going to jujitsu just twice a week because I need 2 days rest between class. Maybe there, I could fit a third, but no, right now I'm just doing two. And I'm just remembering to be patient now and just two classes a week. Don't mess with the tendons. Let them heal until eventually I can do three or more. So that was another quote unquote injury or tweak. Are there any others that come to mind for you for like just happen all the time? And do you think there's any way to prevent them?
Good question. I think we covered like probably the majority of them, just like neck stuff for beginner people, like fingernail stuff are like the two like big ones. And then mat burn. Yeah, obviously mat burn.
Cauliflower ear. Did you ever have cauliflower ear?
Oh.
Or deal with it?
Yeah, my left ear is my bad ear. My right ear is my good ear. Yeah, I think I told you, like, I started to get really into this, like, escape from side control where you, like, slide underneath the person. And, like a lot of times they're like putting their weight heavy on you and you have to like turn your head and basically slide your ear like along their chest. And, that led to my cauliflower ear.
Wait, can I see it? Can I see your left versus your right? Oh yeah, you can see it. Okay. Yeah. It's pretty obvious. Actually, it's not that bad.
That's my left. And then that's my right.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, one quick note before we jump in. You know, on the show, we always talk about how we should train with intention and we should show up to class with a goal in mind of something that we're working on. But one challenge with that is that we don't really have a lot of control over what's being taught when you walk into class. So for example, last week I could go to a class and they could be teaching details to finish an armbar or how to do a Kimura. But we're all at different stages in our journey. And for me as a beginner, I know right now I should be prioritizing defense. So like pin escapes, guard retention. So that's why we're really excited to announce that we actually landed our dream sponsor for this podcast, and it's Submeta. If you haven't heard of Submeta, it's a learning platform for jiu-jitsu, and I've actually been using it for a couple months now, and I really like how easy it is to use. It's organized and structured in a way to help us build a well-rounded game and start to take our learning into our own hands. So there's dozens of courses on there. They're organized by skill level, or you can deep dive into specific topics like back takes, leg locks, open guard for gi, for no gi. Right now, I'm partway through the foundations course, and I really like how there's bite-sized videos. They're like 5 minutes, 10 minutes long with little quizzes in between them to help me reinforce my learning. The platform is only $25 a month. And when you use the code BJJHELP, you get $16 off your first month. So it'll only cost you $9 if you want to try it out for a month. So that's Submeta, Submeta.io. And the code is BJJHELP to get $16 off your first month. Go ahead and check it out. The link is in the description, and let us know how it goes.
But Sam always makes fun of me because like my headphones, like you have got like AirPods, and like the AirPod, like the end of the AirPod is supposed to just, you know, like go down flush kind of with like your jaw. And it does on my right side, but on my left side, it just sticks straight out because it doesn't go all the way in my ear. So, yeah.
That's pretty funny. How do you feel about it?
That's why I tend to have these.
How do you feel about your ear?
I don't mind it. Like, I don't think about it, to be honest. I'm kind of indifferent about it. Like, it is what it is. I hate needles, and it sucked at the time because it's super painful. It takes a little while to heal.
Yeah.
So yeah, just like it's really tender and just kind of sucks at night. Because basically, like what I was told is like your ear fills up with blood and then you drain the blood, but if you don't put like pressure over it, it's just gonna fill back up with blood. So you have to put pressure over it. So what I did was they make like contraptions for this, obviously, but what I did is went a little rednecky. I basically got like a paper towel and like folded up a paper towel and then got my clip that holds up my blinds from my room and then clipped the paper towel to my ear. And like I slept for a little bit, but then I woke up like middle of the night and it felt like my heartbeat was just in my ear, you know.
Oh, dang.
It's like throbbing. And I took it off because I was like, I can't sleep. This is like super painful. And then like the next day it was like back. So,
and then you had to drain it again the next day?
Yeah, I had to do it again. Yeah.
Oh man.
But this time I was a little like I didn't put like the clip was super strong. I think was like the reason why it was difficult. So this time I got a less intense clip and just kind of like set it there. So, yeah, I think it was better the second time around, but yeah, either way, it's not a fun, couple of weeks when you get cauliflower ear. And yeah, I feel like it's just like some people are super susceptible to it and some people aren't.
Okay. I was going to ask about that. Yeah. Cause so far I've had no issues, but I mean, who knows, you know, I've just begun this journey. So, and I don't see anyone I think I've only seen one person once where ear, I don't know what you call it, covers,
headgear.
Yeah. Seems like everyone else is just open to having cauliflower ear. But yeah, it makes sense that you'd be indifferent. You're married, so you don't have that. You don't have the issue of going out there and trying to find it.
I had it when I met her though.
Oh, you did?
I had that. And I was missing a lot of teeth.
You were?
Because I have four implants now.
No way.
I was just born without four teeth.
Whoa, so, what?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story, actually. I had like cauliflower ear. And when I met her, actually, like the first couple weeks I met her, I had all my teeth. But then they were on a retainer. And I've had that retainer since like high school. So like 10 years later, the teeth started to like one by one fall out of the retainer. Just like a couple weeks after I met her. So I had cauliflower ear, and then all of a sudden I went from having like all my teeth to like missing two teeth and then missing three teeth. And then I started to get my implants. So I was missing four teeth and I had like screws coming out. It's pretty funny.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, whole family at Thanksgiving looking like that?
Oh, yeah. Man, that's funny. Yeah, I guess I'll see how I feel about it. Does this ever happen? Do people, after they get into jiu-jitsu, do their ears start to stick out more? or is that just a myth?
It seems like a lot of fighters have that type of ear, you know, where they kind of like Dumbo-y. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like, I think, yeah, the hand motion.
Yeah, yeah, they like stick out more.
But yeah, a lot of fighters have that. Mine, I think, tend to like curl more back in, make me more aerodynamic, but like a lot of people's kind of like flare out.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to keep an eye on it. Maybe I could just like take a picture, and then like a year later, if they're just starting to come out, then I gotta figure something out.
Yeah, I mean, I would say if you're like super concerned about it, there's no shame in wearing headgear, but yeah, like not a lot of people do it, so yeah,
whatever. I'm not ashamed of it. I don't really care if cauliflower ear, as long as it doesn't affect my hearing. I think like then it would suck. Maybe later if I was like, oh dude, if this keeps going, it's gonna be bad. But yeah, it's kind of weird how some people get it really bad and other people never seem to have a problem. One other thing.
Go ahead. I was just gonna say I first started to get it like two and a half years in, and then I got it. But then other people get it after like 2 months. So
oh, okay. And so I feel like people think it's cool too. You know, it's like this badge of honor.
Yeah, I think those people are kind of crazy.
The other thing I was going to talk about was staph infection and ringworm. I have not had to deal with those yet, but I do not want to. Is the way to get out of that, go to a clean gym and take a shower immediately after you get home?
Yeah. I've never had to deal with it either.
Okay, cool.
I've seen pictures, obviously, and it's something to avoid for sure.
Yeah. Did you know anyone who at the gym who had staph or anything?
Not that I've never been at a gym where anyone's gotten staph that I know of.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Our instructor was like really good about it though. He would like spray in between classes and like turn on like a huge fan to like dry everything off and have like foot wash stations before you step on the mat kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
Like the whole nine yards. So, I never had to deal with it. I don't know of anyone at the school that had to deal with it. Mm-hmm. I would say like when you're looking for a school, which you're going to be coming up, like that should be top of the list to kind of like make sure that they have procedures in place to keep their mats clean.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good call.
You can even do it in like a nice way of like offer to stay and help clean, you know, just to like,
yeah,
scope out like, their procedures.
They're like, no, we don't clean before. We're like, oh, yeah. All right. Never see you again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I think we covered a decent amount. Let me think. Any other tweaks? No, I just bruises every cover class, bruises every day, all over my legs, all the time. That's about it. Those are pretty chill though. I think the daily heave and the reverse daily heave, I think because I like playing those, I just get bruises all over my shins and stuff, but it's just part of it, I guess.
It's like those Muay Thai guys that are like kicking bamboo trees and stuff.
Right.
You got to go through the phase where you're toughening up your shins. My shins are so bony now. It's crazy.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. That's kind of cool. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's a combat sport. It's part of the game, I suppose. One thing is, I think I will start doing some neck strengthening exercises. Like I saw somewhere you can do with a band or like a small plate where you lie on a bench and you do those motions, because I just have such a long neck. I feel like, I don't know. And my grandpa died because he broke his neck. So I'm like, dude, I don't want that to happen. So it was an accident. And maybe we just have long necks from his side of the family. I don't even know. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I'm just going to try to do what I can to prevent these things.
Do some neck exercises.
That's the takeaway from today. Do some neck exercise. Yeah. Deal with the rest.
Exactly. Cool.
Sounds good. Cool. Thanks for another insightful episode for this noob here.
I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Later.